magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, May 20th, 2020. It's a banner day. I have a guest in the studio, a live person. We're practicing social distancing. I think you're my first guest, Rob, in 2+ months. It's been a long time. Everyone else has been over the phone, including even yesterday with Becky Pippert. And that was from the home studio out in the country, but I called her up. She's just a great one. I had met her a little less than a year ago at a Ravi Zacharias special gathering. And she sat in front of me, and I attended this with Pastor Jason Schiffel. But what was so unique about this gathering is even the special speakers, which Becky was one of them, along with Francis Chen and some other international speakers, they just sat amongst all of us. And I thought, how unique. And I talked about this some with Jason last year over the air, that it modeled to me so many different characteristics of a well-run organization, a ministry, and just the way Ravi Zacharias at the time said he was thanking his staff that he got invited to speak. I'm like, this is your headquarters. It's named after you. What do you mean you're honored to be invited to speak? Yeah. And just many different things that came out of that. Well, yesterday we had Becky on, and it was such a delight. I hope you were encouraged by her testimony and her sharing. She grew up right in the Champaign-Urbana area, went to U of I. But she talked about 4 points when engaging people in conversations about the Lord. But it begins by saying a quick prayer, establishing some common ground. Get to know them. Be a good listener. Ask them various things about themselves and agree where you can. Like, don't go right after their jugular. Like, you believe that? Are you stupid? Or, you know, don't start right away opposing their point of view. Or if they're much more liberal-minded or something on certain things, don't say, well, that's a sin or whatever. You know, agree where you can. And then keep asking questions. Keep getting to know them. And generally, and she shared a great illustration yesterday about, she came to this point in the conversation where they were really engaged, and she said, you know, I would share a little about my Christian faith, but I don't think you would want to hear it. And the person at that point's like, no, no, tell me all about it. And so you season the conversation with love and care and compassion. And so that was yesterday. It is archived at greatnewsradio.org. But we talked about her book, her new book that just came out, basically 40 years after writing Out of the Salt Shaker, but her new book is titled Stay Salt, The World Has Changed, Our Message Must Not. And so I thought it was a great interview. She really is a delightful lady that loves the Lord, and she shares out of the outpouring of our love for God and what he's done for us, realize you are inadequate, realize, yeah, you're inept, you're not very good at sharing your faith, but allow God to work through you. Amen. And Amen. She said, celebrate that you're not qualified to do it. Recognize that. And so it was kind of a freeing understanding that, you know what, I don't know the Bible enough. You know, I can't answer all their questions. You know, I'm kind of insecure. I don't want to be offensive. All the things she says, get over it. You know, allow God to manifest, you know, his words and his sharing through you. And so that was great. And in fact, Ravi Zacharias wrote an introduction into her book and highly said, Becky's so well-trained and gifted, you know, listen to her words. And if you didn't hear the news yesterday, Ravi Zacharias is homegoing. He went to be with the Lord. In fact, Rob, I'm going to ask you to read a little notice that his daughter sent. She's the CEO of Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. But she sent out yesterday an email that I received about Ravi's homegoing. So I'll ask that you read that, because Ravi is just such a great defender of the faith. And those of you that enjoy his program on the weekend, or his little devotional thoughts, or have been under his teaching. He's been a part of Founders Week and many conferences and speaking at various outings, even here at the U of I, Folinger Auditorium some years ago, and probably Urbana missionary conferences and such.
Several times, yeah.
A saint that finished well. Even in his dying breaths, he was telling the staff how he's wanting the Lord to be proclaimed and his team to continue to share the good news message of Jesus. But now he's in the presence of Jesus, and so on this, your 75th birthday, Rob, let me, before you do the reading, I want to say, don't most people, like, on their birthday, they receive gifts? Well, Rob comes bearing gifts. He gives me a pack of cookies, and I don't know if that's just your personality, but on Rob's 75th birthday today, we say thank you, and maybe at some point during our program, I know you brought in two little props, kind of some visual aids that I want to talk about between your little worm bag and this umbrella. But anyways, I'm glad you're here. You're the first guest in a couple different months, Rob, so I might even keep you around to read some mailbag letters with me. So,
well, I'm honored to be here, and I do want to tell you something about evangelism, and that is, years ago, I was a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago.
One of your 57 different jobs that you've had?
Something like that. When you're 75, you can have had a lot of different careers. And so I got a job as a mechanic, and this other guy showed up, and I was going to work on Volkswagens. He was going to work on Fords. And he came over. He was real friendly, and I could tell he was working up to something, but he didn't quite get to it. It wasn't the direct approach. But he kept getting ready to bring something up, and then he'd back off. Get ready to bring something up, and then he'd back off. Now, I won't share this brother's name because he is now a pastor. He was going to Bible college and taking correspondence classes and night classes and everything he could to get qualified. And a few years later, he became qualified and was ordained and so on. Well, pretty soon, he got up closer and closer to me, and then he grabbed me by the lapels and said, "Rob, you saved?"
Yeah. Oh, are you saved?
Yeah. We talked about it later, and he said, "Well, that probably wasn't the best approach."
I don't know. But 40, 50 years ago, that was pretty kind of common.
Yeah, there you go.
It was like,
I know.
Be abrupt,
know.
You know, turn or burn. And,
yeah.
So.
Well, you might say, "Hey, can't you have a more somber note? One of your favorite people, Dr. Ravi Zacharias, has passed away." But you know what? We do mourn his loss. Mm-hmm. But we don't mourn as those who have no hope, as the Apostle Paul wrote. And so, trust me, this guy is rejoicing in the mm-hmm. presence of his Lord, along with a lot of people he influenced mm-hmm. to be there. So this announcement is from Sarah Davis, who's not only his daughter, but the CEO of Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. And so she said, "On January 4, my dad recited a stanza from this hymn by the late Richard Baxter." Now, Richard Baxter lived from 1615 to 1691. "Lord, it belongs not to my care whether I die or live. To love and serve thee is my share, and this thy grace must give. If life be long, I will be glad that I may long obey. If short, yet why should I be sad to welcome endless day? Christ leads me through no darker rooms than he went through before. He that under God's kingdom comes must enter by this door. Come, Lord, when grace hath made me meet thy blessed face to see, for if thy work on earth be sweet, what will thy glory be? Then I shall end my sad complaints and weary sinful days, and join with the triumphant saints that sing my Savior's praise. My knowledge of that life is small, the eye of faith is dim, but 'tis enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him."
And that was from the 1600s?
Yeah, that's from the 1600s,
wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Hasn't changed, has it?
Yeah.
The world has changed. Our message hasn't. So just 2 months after he recited that, Ravi learned that he had cancer. So he said, "'Tis enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him." And she writes further, "My dad at 74 is joined with the triumphant saints that sing his Savior's praise. We knew and loved him, celebrate his life, and more importantly, his Savior."
Mm-hmm.
So I find that really apt, and I appreciate that she put that out. Ravi Zacharias was one of the most humble people on this earth, although he might have been one of the greatest apologists since C.S. Lewis. And I have really appreciated his ministry in my life. In fact, I'm reading a book by him. Well, he's the editor. He had a couple chapters and other, as he usually does, he's encouraging others to write. And it's a really interesting book. It's called Beyond Belief, and it's really, really quite a good book.
Yeah. Well, Becky Pippard referenced Ravi Zacharias yesterday's program, and at the time, we knew that Ravi was sent home from the doctors a week plus and said, really, there's nothing else we can do, and he was spending time with family. And I read an email that I received from staff members from his organization. Mm-hmm. So yesterday at the time when Becky and I were talking, we finally remembered our time together at his headquarters and the ministry work that he does and the apologist that he was and just how sharp and caring and loving. And so we grieve, like you said, but not without hope. And Amen. He's in a better place. And he was intentional and deliberate in all occasions to share the good news message of Jesus so that we don't have to fear death, and that death is just the beginning of a new life with the Lord in eternal glory. So those of you that might just have tuned in, Ravi Zacharias is now with the Lord. His passing Monday, and there's a whole letter that, if you want, I can always forward it on to you that kind of recounts the legacy and the work that he did. So prayers are certainly with his daughter and the Ravi Zacharias family and all of you that have been touched by his ministry. And it's uncertain what will happen with his weekend program and the other things that we air with him, but I'll keep you posted. So, it's one of those happy, sad situations. I saw him in person not that long ago, and we don't know how our days are numbered. I mean, today might be the last time that you and I meet up, or a loved one goes outside and there's an accident or a situation, and life is precious, so then we should take every opportunity we can to praise God and proclaim his goodness and witness where we can and live faithfully and live like either the rapture or our end is imminent, is just around the corner, and yet also revel in the goodness and the ways he's spoiled us or lavished us with love and care and all the things, the abilities that we get to do and experience. I guess it's kind of that balance. We should love and be interested by life and encouraged by it, and yet also remember that there's a calling on our lives to be his ambassadors, to be disciples of Jesus, to be in his word, to be sharing. And so how we can keep that balance of enjoying life and kind of having fun. And, I mean, he's created us to enjoy this world, and yet to have that mindset also that this is all temporal and there are greater things to achieve and to be a part of. So.
And, Mark, our times are in his hands, Scripture tells us. And, you know, I look forward to being in the Lord's presence. I remember an old pastor years ago in his 90s. If you'd ask him to pray, he'd kind of chuckle real deep. And then it was like you're ushered into the presence of the Lord. But I remember how thrilled he was to come into the presence of the Lord with other people. And he'd say, Lord, we long for your presence. You know what? We have the rest of eternity with him after we die. So we don't have to be in a great rush to get there.
Right.
And yet, I believe that you will accomplish the mission he has for you here on this earth before you go. That's what I believe.
So, Rob, on this Wednesday, which is our Prime Life Times in Review, we're back to doing our Prime Life Times in Review, and maybe next week or the following week we'll get Mary Ann back in here. So you wrote an interesting article in the Wordsmith Workshop and also Rural Memories, The Prayer in the Storm. So begin with the Wordsmith Workshop by Rob Seidenberg.
Okay, thanks. Prolixity, periphrasis, or paraphrasis, pleonism, and other writer's disabilities. Search as I might, I find no mention of my disabilities in the ADA listing. When I first courted my dear wife, Mary, I bought her a dictionary. She still has it.
I should almost pause here. That was one of the first gifts, this girlfriend or this?
That was the first gift I gave her.
Oh, jeez.
She said,
she knew what she was in for.
Yeah, she said, what's that word mean? She still has it. I think it's under a flower vase that sat too low on the window table. Some victims of my prolixity, such as my remarkable editor-in-chief, Mary Ann, suffer more than others from my literary foibles and sesquipedalian foot-and-a-half-long terminology. Thus, out of mercy, this briefer-than-usual article. A prolix writer is given to using many words, too many words. One who suffers from paraphrases tends to use bigger words where smaller ones would suffice.
Oh, geez.
Pleonism is the use of more words than necessary to express an idea.
Okay, I have two out of the three. Using too many words and then expressing an idea with more words than you need.
And I'm guilty as charged, too. One of the brightest high school English students I ever taught once asked why I made my students learn vocabulary. Mr. Seidenberg, he asked, why do I need these words? None of my friends know them. And that was a true statement. Now that same student, having earned his doctorate from a leading university, is foisting off big words on his own students. Will this amaranthine round never end?
Oh, jeez. Oh,
copyright Scene in a Circle, Rob Seidenberg, used by permission.
Oh, a classic. And this column, Wordsmith Workshop, is seen and can be read each and every month in the Prime Lifetimes, available at many area locations. And this we're reading from the May edition.
So, the other article you asked me to read is from my Rural Memories column. It's called The Prayer in the Storm. And as I read this, I will have very strong memories of the actual event that I'm describing. The Prayer in the Storm. Dad had a big heart. I can only aspire to his kindness and generosity of spirit. He visited prisoners at the county jail. Didn't matter, they had never met them before. He took in outcasts and stranded travelers. He distributed food to the needy long before food stamps or SNAP with its preloaded EBT cards. He thought it his responsibility to care for the down and out. We five kids got a double portion of his love and care. We basked in it. One stormy morning, phone lines and electricity were out, a frequent occurrence on the farm in the mid-1950s. Dad came in from the barn. He'd been getting ready to milk without the aid of the vacuum pump. His ingenious invention? Running a vacuum line from the tractor's intake manifold through the vacuum regulator with a stick in the vacuum pump to keep it from running backward and leaking vacuum. And a couple years ago, I was there visiting my brother, and that stick's up there. He said, what was that stick for?
Oh, jeez.
I remember it well. My 2 years older sister, Delight, and I were just leaving to walk the half mile across the field.
And that was really her name, Delight?
Delight really is her name, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a delightful
Delight,
name. She probably got a lot of grief from that.
No, no, no. She was a delight. Delight, Joy, and Mary are my sisters.
Okay.
My 2 years older sister, Delight, and I were just leaving to walk the half mile across the fields to the county road to meet the bus that would take us to our one-room schoolhouse. My dad never was very tall or very big, though he was tough as nails. He weighed in at a maximum of 165 pounds and stood a full 5'9", though in his 90s he would shrink by 10 pounds and 3 inches. But that morning he looked big and strong and protective. He wrapped his arms around two scared little kids about to walk off into the storm. If he didn't stay and get the milking done, the milk wouldn't be cooled in time for the milkman to pick it up about 2 hours thereafter. The township road was fit for no traffic but team and wagon. That's how Dad would be taking the milk out to meet Sam Grimm, our milk truck driver, and exchange full cans for empties. Dad's prayers were in no way theatrical, just quiet, assured, and trust-imparting to us. I don't remember his words from that spring morning nearly 70 years ago, but I do remember, after he prayed for our safety, stepping out into the storm with confidence. First, we walked to the line fence where Dad had built a stile we could go through, but livestock couldn't. We were no longer afraid. We knew we would be safe. Dad had prayed for us. As we face hard times, we need more than ever the sense of belonging, of togetherness, and of trust. Dad saw problems as opportunities to do our best. Of course they were. He believed people should stick together and help each other all they could. He believed if you gave it your best, you could leave the rest in God's hands. And we must. And so this is also copyright and used by permission.
By yours truly. Thank you,
yeah,
Rob.
I gave my permission.
Yeah. Oh, Rural Memories. In this month's edition, the May edition of the Prime Lifetimes, this story was entitled The Prayer in the Storm. And how wonderful to have a father that prays prayed intentionally. And when you talked about him always looking at things as opportunities, did he wake up to an opportunity clock or an alarm clock? Did he say, good God, it's morning, or good morning, God? Have you ever heard that?
He just got up without an alarm ahead of everybody else about 4 o'clock every morning and went out to get the cows in and prepare to do chores. And, of course, as we boys got older, we tended to get up then and go out with him, too. So for years, I didn't need an alarm clock. And this morning, I was up before 4, proofreading the Prime Lifetime for June.
Yeah, that's right. Our deadline for June approached.
And it's looming.
Yeah, our final drafts are being looked at, in fact, because we have to have it to the printer in time to be printed and then delivered back to us. But even though we're in the middle of this month or just past the center part of the month, we're already working on the June edition. Do you want to give us a little sneak preview on your Rural Memories or the Wordsmith's Workshop?
The Rural Memories article is called Baby Buggy Caper.
So and, there's a story behind that.
Yeah, and one of the front page articles this time is by Lori Felger, one of my very favorite columnists. I got to meet her last year at the Champaign Public Library, and this is, you know, I have to believe it's providential. I was working on the Prime Lifetimes way upstairs on the fourth floor of my sister-in-law's apartment in Atlanta, Georgia, right after Thanksgiving, and I was doing some fact-checking on an article, and lo and behold, I saw this article, The Death of Mr. Common Sense. I thought, ooh, after I get done with this, and I bookmarked it and went back to it. It was an article.
15 seconds, because I forgot about our show and tell.
It was an article by Lori Felger. So I've been a follower, and I asked her if we could use her articles, and she said, yes, use whatever you want. So that's how we got her on the front page of our June edition.
All right. Now, I posted this on Facebook today, but you brought two visual aids. One, you thought this might be a great thing for the Prime Life Times. It's a News Gazette umbrella, and we don't know how old it is, but it has all these
comics, basically.
Yeah, comic captions. Very, very colorful, so find it at our Facebook page or Great News Radio's Facebook page. And then a worm bag?
A worm bag, because I got to buy 2,200 of Uncle Jim's finest worms from Uncle Jim's Worm Farm.
And it came in this bag.
And they came in this bag in dry peat moss, and they lose 75% of their moisture, and you just pour half a cup of water in it, rehydrates them, and away they go.
And now, I haven't shared this over the air, but we have 8 chicks now. They're being raised in our living room in this big tub, and the last few days we've been taking them out to this coop area, a fenced-in little area.
So do you want me to bring over some worms for them? Or
well, they love worms. Every time Esther's always around the yard getting worms, they love spaghetti. They probably think it's a worm. So anyways, we'll have more to say about those in the coming days. But Rob, because of your article and your love for your dad, I'm going to close out with a portion of Thank You for Being My Dad by John Barker. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Rob Seidenberg with Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times, a ministry of the Great News Media Group. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
The son really tells his father how he really feels. A handshake or a pat on the back is all that he reveals. I'd like to write that wrong here in this little song. Thank you for shaping my life. Thank you for teaching me all you can. You are no ordinary man. You make me everything I am. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for showing me